Hi, and welcome to Nothing Venture, Nothing Game. I'm your host with the most, your DM, Jared. And today, I'm joined by my co-host, Steve.
Yep.
And we are interviewing John from Beetle and Grimm's company. They're doing a Kickstarter, The Complete Character Chronicle. How are you doing today, John?
Huzzah! Huzzah to everybody. Good.
Awesome. So, I'm so glad you're here. I'm a huge fan of this Kickstarter. I'm a huge fan of Beetle and Grimm's. I know I gushed over you before. I'm gushing on you live right now. I apologize for that.
Gush.
Thank you. No problem. I will. So if you haven't heard, Beetle and Grimm's is doing The Complete Character, their Kickstarter. When you're hearing this right now on our podcast forms, you will have 17 days. So you will go out right then. The moment you listen to it, you'll go and you will push and back their Kickstarter. Just do it. I don't care what you say. Do it. It's awesome and it's worth it. 17 days. Come on, guys. They've don't even have to worry about it. You know, sometimes you go on the Kickstarter and you're like, well, will this or won't this? They reached their goal in 12 minutes. Am I correct with that?
That's right.
Amazing. That's amazing. That is absolutely insane. 12 minutes is bonkers. And congratulations on all the success there.
Yeah, you know, though, that first 12 minutes when you're sitting there looking at the screen and you're like, you're chewing on your fingernails going, oh, my God, what's going to happen? So that was a really exciting moment for all of us watching, you know, when that kicked off.
Yeah, it's insane. So I really just want to talk to you about this. And obviously, we have to start in the beginning. So we were talking before, Eternal DM, GMs here. What system did you really start with, obviously, when you started first playing and stuff like that?
Oh, when I first started playing? Oh, yeah. My gosh.
I'm going to date you. It's okay.
No, yeah. You're going way back to the Stone Age. I mean, I started with second edition, Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that was, you know, those three first books.
Yeah.
I was just absolutely mesmerized by the pictures at first, you know, flipping mm-hmm. through the monster manual and seeing things like the Intellect Devourer and seeing things like hobgoblins and mimics. I was just like this and mind flayers. I was totally blown away. I was totally caught at that time. You know, the art on the player's handbook, the art on the DM's guide. And, you know, since that time, I've always been a sort of a huge fan of art and artists. Mm-hmm, and that's mm-hmm. part of what I do with Beetle and Grimm's is work with artists on some of the, you know, the art that we commission for our pieces. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge part of it for me. That's a huge part of gaming. I love that part. So that's always been sort of a passion of mine.
And, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because looking at this product, the art that you have as the previews for this book. And if you don't know, just explaining, the Complete Character Chronicle is a complete, like when they say complete, this is no joke, is fully complete, has everything in there for your character and your class that you're playing. And we're really here pushing the second edition Pathfinder Complete Character Guides. There are currently four, right? The fighter, the rogue, the cleric, and the wizard. Your typical, your starting ones. I'm a fan of the fighter. Steve's a fan of the wizard, and you're a fan of the.
I'm a fan of the wizard as well.
Oh, I'm outclassed I'm outclassed here. So I guess speaking on the wizard, right? So we're gonna just jump into this real quick.
Sure.
The artwork is amazing. The way you've laid out the pages, and that's always a big thing with gamers is page layout and stuff like that. And the way we were looking at it, I'm blown away. I'm like a lot, like I'm getting goosebumps at like how amazing this artwork is. And I can't, again, gushing, and I apologize for that. But the artwork is so cool. If you go to their Kickstarter page, you could see their previews of the books and what they're gonna be looking like, possible what they should be looking like. And what made you want to kind of transition over and create this book? Like what was that driving force that brought you here?
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, one of my favorite parts of DMing and playing, because I play too, but I love DMing, and one of my favorite parts of DMing is being able to see that character journey. Right, being able to help that player start at level one, you know, the noob, you know, whatever that character is, and see them take this journey and develop level by level over the course of, you know, for a player, the player could play that character for years. It could be six months, it could be years and years. And this, the Complete Character Chronicle, it's a combination book, right? Mm-hmm. Because it not only gives you the relevant source material for that character, and it gives you like 12 pages of character sheet, but just as importantly, it lets you as the player sort of chronicle their journey, capture their journey. It has the character's birth certificate. It has their death certificate. It has their journal pages. It has map pages for you know, doodling your maps, and maybe you want to, you know, create what your wizard's keep is going to look like. There's pages for that. And the art that you're talking about is it's a mix. It's some of it is art that we commissioned specifically for this project, like the art that you're going to see on the slip cover on the collector editions for the books was commissioned by us. It's the art that you're going to see on the first page of the book. But also there's going to be, you know, bits and pieces of fun little quotes and art throughout the journal, you know, just little fun stuff to discover as you're flipping through those pages. And then, of course, the core rulebook stuff is going to have all that amazing art that we were able to pull from the Paizo libraries. So it's a combination of all kinds of cool stuff for you to take it and say, all right, if I'm running a fighter or if I'm running a wizard, it has everything I need. And more, and even more stuff that's going to like spark your imagination, maybe things that you didn't even think you needed until you read the book and you said, oh, that's a good idea. I need a familiar, because I have this section on, you know, all these little familiar details.
100%. And I agree with you on that. Like, this book does spark the imagination, which I like a lot as a DM. And the fact that, like, you mentioned, like, it is bringing stuff from the core rule book and making it very digestible to the players who are taking this. Because one of the things I do notice when playing at a table is the flip, right? You're sitting there, someone opens the book and starts flipping to the spell or the attack they want to do, how many actions it is for a second edition and stuff like that. And this book kind of just says, like, no, you don't really need to flip. Obviously, if you're going to, you know, homebrew stuff or outside source stuff, you're going to have to do that. But this book by itself stands alone. And I think that is more valuable to my players than anything else, than any other source book. Because I, as a DM and a storyteller, I like when I get into my story, I hate the flip. I hate when people start to flip through the book, because I'm like, no, do what you were going to do 5 seconds ago, because it would have been so cool. And I think that's what this book does. And especially, like you said, you have the birth certificate and then the death certificate, which I was
if needed,
I was talking to my, my players yesterday about it. And I said, I love the death certificate, and I'm not a monstrous DM. I don't randomly, like, rocks fall. Don't let him
lie to you.
I'm not. I swear to God, I'm not terrible. You could visit my brother for that one. But what I was saying was, I would love, so if let's say a player does pass on, right, to kind of photocopy that death certificate and then kind of like frame it, because I would like it as a DM or even as a player. I think that would be fun, especially you get so attached to these characters that, like, I would want that, like, little extra. And I think that just creates such an, because, like, I was reading the things and it was like best heroic moment and where they died, how they died and stuff like that. And I think those are the stuff you talk about. Like, when you listen to your friends talk about role-playing games, that's the stuff they say. They never say, oh, I rolled in that 20. They're never like, oh, remember that time I rolled in that 20? You're like, sure. Yeah. Okay.
No, it's that epic move, or mm-hmm. it's that epic battle that they had at the top of the tower, you know, against the, you know, the boss villain. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then even going back to the complete character book, the slipcovers, if you're looking at them, they're on the Kickstarter, they're beautiful. You know, going back to that art, I think they're fantastic. Super beautiful, really, really cool. And so, again, coming back to like the second edition stuff, did you struggle with that? Because I know second edition has a lot of, not rules, but like extra. If you're looking at, like, obviously, you know, not to make the comparison, but there is fifth edition stuff, D&D fifth edition, and your company has worked with fifth edition. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in their products, please check out their fifth edition Wizard of the Coast products. Those were also awesome. And I don't have enough money. But the layout, was that a little bit more difficult coming into the second edition, or did you already kind of have like a game plan there? Like how you wanted to like lay this book out?
Well, yeah, I mean, Paizo has been incredibly generous. Mm-hmm. In their, you know, time and in the energy that they've spent with us to talk to us about, you know, we would come to them and say, hey, this is what we think should be in the book. And they've been very collaborative in that regard. So that's been a lot of fun. But, you know, when you've been playing for as many years collectively as the five of us have been playing, you know, mm-hmm. like 100 years collectively or something crazy, You get a sense of what you're constantly looking for in a mm-hmm. game, right? Well, one of the things that we loved about the concept for these books is for particularly for spellcasters, the idea that in my complete character chronicle, it's going to have my wizard spells and only my wizard spells, so I don't have to flip through, you know, 200 pages of spells. It's just got the spells that I need. And it's got this section here where I've written down the spells that I'm using right now. Mm-hmm. And in addition, in the back, it's got a whiteboard with a dry erase pen where I can write down the spells that I have memorized, you know, right now for this, mm-hmm. for this adventure, for this day, right?
Yeah.
So it's got all of these different tools in one place so that I'm not reaching over and grabbing the bestiary to figure out what I just summoned, right? Mm-hmm. I've got what I usually summon in my book. I'm not reaching for this source book or I'm reaching over here for my graph paper so that I can, you know, do my map. It's all in this one piece.
Mm-hmm. And touching on that, me and Steve is my wizard in our campaign. And the first thing he mentioned to me was, as he was looking through the reviews and stuff, was like, dude, they got the pictures of the spells. And I was like, wait, what? And then if you're on the Kickstarter and you look through the stuff, they show in the review, you guys show in the review, like what a 20-foot square is, what, you know, a line or a cone would look like, which is always the question when the player is like looking at it, they're like, it says it's a cone. How does that look? You know, and you always get the people who are like trying to count it out, but this, you get it right away. And I like that because as a wizard, you would know that. You would instantly know what it should look like and how it should work. And as a storyteller, that draws me to this book very fast because I can now have my players, again, not, like you said, looking at other stuff. It's all right there. And my players can instantly just know and keep the game flowing without stopping and just suddenly like being like, wait, does the cone look like this, or is it more like, you know? And
yeah, right,
yeah, we've all had those conversations. I'm sorry, Steve, I brought you on and you were just kind of been smiling politely. Would you like to jump in, Steve?
It's a question. When designing these types of books, was there any problems that you came over since it is your first Pathfinder second edition product, and you went, oh man, we want to add this and this, but man, I'm going to run into this one problem?
Yeah, I mean, if you play Pathfinder, you know that they're really good about releasing, you know, a lot of source material, giving you a lot of options, mm-hmm. giving players lots of options, lots of different tracks that you can do. And so we can't pull every single piece into these books, right? It would be crazy. It would be massive. So there is a bit of picking and choosing, finding the stuff that we think is going to be most relevant. So mm-hmm. it's not going to replace all of your source books, right? There's going to be times when you're going to want to reach for another one of your source books. But hopefully what it does is, you know, the majority of the time you're using this one book. There's going to be folks who go through, I'm sure, and say, oh, there's this one thing that I use I wish was in the book. But you can't have everything. But I think we're doing a good job of grabbing the stuff that's going to be, you know, that's going to be referenced the most within a game.
Yeah, I mean, fireball, that's all you need, right? It's just like kicking the door, fireball, done. But the princess was there. Well, hopefully she makes a reflex save.
Right. It's one thing to know what the cone is. It's another thing to care about who's in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. There's no rules for that. You know, additionally, on your Kickstarter, we've been talking about the book. And again, I can't. This book is so amazing. If you haven't, go out, back it. It's worth it. Even if you just want to play a fighter. You know, what's funny is, you don't have to back like all four, right? Like, let's say I'm the fighter and I'm always playing the fighter. I don't have to, on your Kickstarter, you could say you can easily just back, bloop, I just get the fighter book. And
right.
Something that I didn't see on your Kickstarter that I instantly picked up on as a huge fan from Pathfinder and Paizo and their systems is this book is great if you're playing Society. And you actually have the little society token at the very bottom. It's a thing you could add on. This is one of the greatest books for Society because you're always moving that single character around. And this is that book you would want. You would never have to worry about, oh, did I forget my character sheet, blah, 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 blah. No, I could just put those in this book, bring this single character with me. And it's kind of like the epic journal, right? Like, you know, your Beowulf or your sagas, right? This would be your saga. And I think that's such a really interesting aspect that like this book allows people to do. That's something, you know, talking to the people listening on the fence, riding the pine, how does this also, you know, okay, maybe I play a fighter for 6 months. Why should I spend that much? Well, no, this actually carries over into Society because you guys, this isn't homebrew stuff, which truth be told, not a fan of homebrew stuff, especially when you're backing it on Kickstarter, because you're never sure if the next DM you play with is going to allow it. So, but your company is working directly with Paizo. This is all Paizo product, and you're instantaneously knowing, I know, oh, this is Paizo product. I can use this for Society. And that's a great aspect. Sorry, again, gushing.
Yeah, no, we definitely had the Pathfinder Society in mind mm-hmm. as we designed these books. Being a licensee of Paizo and working directly with them is definitely an advantage for us mm-hmm. that we recognize, you know, that it's been good. It's been a great collaborative effort. And one of the things that we're excited about on this Kickfinder is that, you know, there are so many different levels, you know, right? You want to spend $35, you can spend $35. Mm-hmm. You want to spend $100, you can spend $100. And you know, if you want a collector's edition with the unique cover, and it come, you know, and you want to grab that with a set of, you know, if you're getting the fighter book and you want to get the set of fighter dice that go with it, you know, mm-hmm. there's a little package for that. So there's a lot of different options once you go on there and depending on, you know, what you can afford, what you're interested in. So we're kind of excited about that.
Yeah. And obviously I didn't jump into it, but the dice sets are really, really dope. So I have to ask this, I'm, you know, as an artist, you work with colors. What made you choose those specific colors? Like the cleric, I get. Like the clerics, the holy, the white, the gold, instantly makes sense. But like, what were your thought processes on some of the color options there? for the
yeah
the
you know this when you're working in a group of five, mm-hmm. we could spend hours and hours going back and forth with each other on what colors are, you know, what colors are best for the fighter versus the mm-hmm. wizard versus the rogue. It was a lot of back and forth. Ultimately, you know, we hope that folks are really interested and excited in the colors that we chose for each of mm-hmm. each of the classes. One of the things that we're really excited about is that they're going to be coming in this collector's yes. edition oh, tin that has like this art on the cover for each of the classes, and it's sort of like a tarot card design. Mm-hmm. And we're working with this really talented artist. His name is Julie, and he's really really awesome. I can't wait until we get to release all of the different dice sets that we're working on, because they're really cool. And the dice are selected. The dice mm-hmm. that you get in the tin are selected based on the class it is. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to make the best decisions. Hey, if I'm a wizard, you better have plenty of D6s in there for your lightning bolts and your fireballs, right? Yeah. And if I'm a champion or if I'm a paladin, I better have a different set of dice, because those are the ones that I'm going to be rolling the most. Mm-hmm. So we made, you know, decisions on not only the color, but the types of dice that go into each tin based on the class that you're playing.
Oh, so I was looking that over, and you give the little blurb. The tin is what drew my eyes instantly. Like you said, that the tin is beautiful, and it's a very, like you said, tarot-esque style. And I'm a huge fan of that style of artwork. And I like that you guys chose these extra dice to throw in. It's not just your generic, like, yeah, you could choose the fighter colors and you get a generic D20 set. You could choose the cleric colors. You're getting those extra little extras that really hone in on this is the class you're playing. Which is great. Again, it goes back to the being part of society. You can go anywhere with this complete pack and be ready to play anywhere. And additionally, it goes back to the whole, like, you are this class. You know, you have the birth certificate, you have your death certificate. I'm sorry, I keep mentioning it, Steve. Steve's like, oh, he's gonna kill us next game. So
I have a little story about that. Mm-hmm. When we started playing D&D, the five of us, mm-hmm. I played in my high school years, but we started playing in our early 20s when we were living in New York. We were all going to acting school, and when we played in New York, we had this move where if the DM killed you, he would hand you a subway token as your going away, as your parting gift, so that you could afford going home after your character died. So it would be like, oh no, I don't want the subway token.
That's awesome. At least
you don't have to pay to get home.
So right. I have to put it out here. You heard it first. They're from New York. We are a New York podcast. You clearly have to back their stuff. They're New Yorkers. New Yorkers, New York strong. Come on. If you're not backing their stuff, you're not a New Yorker. You could just hand in your New York pass, go leave. Just leave the whole state. We don't want you here. Sorry, I get very defensive about my co-New Yorkers. I love my state more than anything else. Sorry, I was just reading the chat, and people are just going nuts over the tins. They were just saying how awesome they looked, which is great. I like seeing that when our chat is getting super involved and getting really amped up. So Steve, again, I'm stealing all the spotlight. Steve's our tech guy. If you don't know, I'm sorry.
Okay. I have a lot to juggle. It's all right.
Yeah.
So obviously we talked about that. You had the rogue, the fighter, the cleric, and the wizard. And I know you have two super secret books that potentially could come out. One if you hit 90,000, and the next one when you hit 140,000. Obviously, we know that you have other, besides the four classes, we know you have others planned. How has the design process been difficult when you're considering a class that has multiple different traditions in spellcasting? So, like, Sorcerer yeah, so
I,
can...
I, I, I... I can tell already this is like a good cop, bad cop scenario here, right? I've got Jared, gushing and asking the easy questions, and you come in with these like hard hitting, technical questions, I'm starting to get what's going on here. I'm starting to see the pattern.
All my good, nice questions.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think this, it's kind of similar to the challenge that I brought up before, where, you just have to make the decisions based on feedback from Paizo, based on playing, but feedback from players. What are the things that are going to be, most most used at the table, right? Well, what are the things that are most likely going to need to be in this book? It's not going to be everything, but with these, at least with these first four core books, we had a good idea off the bat of what we wanted. Okay. Now, as we start to expand, like you said, if we hit 90,000, we're going to release what the fifth class is going to be. Some of these classes, really honestly, some of them are going to get tougher. Mm-hmm. They're going to get tougher to figure out, okay, what do we include? What do we not include? We've looked at some of the other classes, and it's going to be a challenge, but at the end of the day, I think people will be happy with it, because again, one of the things I want to sort of push is that for me personally, mm-hmm. the core rule book pages are the least interesting for me. For me, the most interesting is the expanded character sheet, and it's the mm-hmm. journal pages, and it's those extra sort of in-world elements that we're putting in there that's gonna like bring a different level to the gameplay than what you're doing with just the core rule books, right? We're gonna have to pick which source material we're putting in there, but ultimately you're gonna really enjoy, hopefully, using the journal portion of the book and filling in all the little things that we've put in there, and the place for quotes, and the place for here's my kill tally, right? If I'm a fighter, here's my list of all the things, here's my tally. Here's the epic moves, the epic kills that I've had. Those are the kinds of things that you're going to just love doing.
I like that. I like that. That kill tally, I like. I want like a bunch of goblin heads so I can just X them off. Just no. obviously we have to talk about the sad stuff, the hard stuff, the state of the world, and that is, the virus that has really hurt us all. How has that really kind of affected your working with this product? Has it affected, or is this like, no, we kind of had this going, wheels chugging beforehand, shout out to our, the teams and stuff that are really working.
Well, yeah, I mean, as a company, we have a variety of products, mm-hmm. right? But they have traditionally been, we are sort of old school, right? Mm-hmm. We love the idea of friends sitting around a table, of that experience, of that in-person, we're sitting at a table experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so our first products, which were our platinum boxes, these are products that are meant to be held. They're meant to be felt, right? Mm-hmm. They're meant to be passed around the table. And the introduction of COVID has been scary for us. When in March we sat around and we said, are people still going to be interested in our products? Mm-hmm. This is going to be really, really difficult for us. We are not a video game, right? We are not an online game. We believe in the power of friendship and sitting around the table and being social. Mm-hmm. And so it was really scary. We ultimately made the decision with our fall product, which was another platinum box, to say, yep, we're going to move forward with it. We're going to do a platinum box. We're not going to scale back. We're going to do it as big as ever. And, you know, the gaming community really, they really stepped up. I mean, we sold out. I mean, we were thrilled. People stepped up and said, you know what? Despite what's going on, I'm hopeful and I'm ready to commit to the fact that we will be at a table again, whether that's in a couple of months or a year, whatever it is, I'm going to go and continue to purchase these products and be prepared for when we're around a table again, which is going to happen. Oh, yeah. And so we were really thrilled, you know, with this product. It is a, you know, it is a bound book. It is a personal book. But the good news is even if you're playing with this product, specifically dice and books, the book itself, even if you're playing via Zoom, right, you're still gonna have this great book to take your notes in and to flip through and to play on. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, with this product, we hope and expect that it will still have value.
It will. Like, I could definitely say, from my perspective as a GM with my team, I have a few people that I'm excited to get. Like I said, I backed this product myself. I'm excited to get them a book. I'm not saying who it is, but Zach does need a book because every session he asks is what happened at last section. So he's getting a book off the bat, just because he needs it. Sorry, Zach, if you're in chat, I'm throwing you under the bus on this one. But like we were talking about my another one of my players, Tina. She is our bookkeeper, and she goes through books. Like, she has probably a small library of game books that she's gone through from playing with us, and this is right up her alley. And like you said, we are playing via Zoom. We are still waiting to come back and be a family, because really, that's what gamers are. We're family, and when times get rough, you know, family comes together, and that's what we did. And I love seeing, you know, how much you guys are working with the community, and that's really awesome, and I really appreciate it. So thank you very much with that. Now, I have another hard question. This is going to be the toughest one you're going to get.
Not guilty.
All right. Not all right, guilty. I've got my shield up.
There you go. Are you guys ever going to put out a GM book? Would that be something like down the line where, like, as a GM, right? Like, as a GM myself, I would love to have something like this, right? Like I said, I usually play the fighter, but as a GM, I would love to have something like this. I'm still getting one for myself. I'm going to spoil myself because you got to treat yourself. But would that ever be something you would think about doing, as like kind of like a GM sweat book?
Yeah, we're open to anything that, you know, would improve the experience, mm-hmm. right? Would elevate the immersion into the game. Let me throw it back at you. I mean, mm-hmm. if you were to go after a DM's book, mm-hmm. what would you want to see in it?
Oh, it would have to be...
What would be like your ultimate DM book?
My ultimate... Oh, throwing the bag at me. I see how it is. I would love... Like I said, I'm a huge storyteller, right? So from my perspective, I would love to have the ability to just kind of put down interesting things that happen, like epic moments, so I can kind of emphasize those and always refer back to them. Because when we're in the... you know, in the groove of playing, you know, like yourself, when you're playing, you have those epic moments as a DM. You're like, yeah, you cheer when your players win. You know, I don't think there's many DMs out there that cheer when their players are doing terrible. Right? Like, that's the hope, right? If you're in that table, that may be a toxic environment. But I think that's something I would want. Or maybe like a word bank. I'm a huge fan of word banks. So to kind of give me like a... like just a bank of words to be able to grab from. So like, instead of saying the goblin slashes, it's like, oh, the goblin, you know, comes forward and explodes with a direct attack, you know, something.
Maybe a section with like random NPC names that you can grab at the drop of a hat, a mm-hmm. list of like tavern inn names. Yeah. So that when someone says, hey, what's the name of the shop on the corner, you just flip it and it's right there. Some core commonly referenced like condition tables and things like that would be in the DM
book. The one thing I would you hit on a couple that I was going to mention was the tavern names and the NPC names. But the one thing that I would like to have if I was ever GMing, especially in a long form campaign, this is not much for like a one shot, but for a long form style campaign, things your PCs are either commonly caught doing or things that they don't like seeing, as in the PCs, not the players, right? So if I know that one of the PCs is afraid of spiders, I'm going to make a note of that and then, like, you know, mess with them. Or if I know one of them likes to always steal stuff, you know, I might add a couple extra coins into the guard's, you know, coin purse to entice them to do something crazy and reckless.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Maybe there's a section where you've got, you know, character one, character two, character three, character four, with all this, all those details that you need to fill in as you're playing, things that they're afraid of, things, key NPCs that they've met or have relationships with, a place to take all of that down in a fun format that. Again, like the player books, will spur your imagination and make you think of things that maybe you wouldn't have thought of yourself. Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a really awesome thing. And if that ever happens, I'm not saying Christmas gift guys, but Christmas gift guys.
Selling me on it, Jared.
I'm trying. Thank you. You know, we've been talking about like kind of what's in these books, the different things, and you did mention earlier quotes, character quotes from the Iconics, if I'm not mistaken, right? The Iconics that Paizo has created and created like a lore around. Is that what you have is like Ezrin's quotes for the wizard and stuff like that, or are they just like quotes you kind of collected and brought in that you feel inspire players?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to commit to it being all Iconics because we love to throw in our own characters,
of course.
You know, past characters, you know, the quotes from our iconic characters and maybe even some, you know, some characters that are fictional just to get the right flavor for what we're trying to try and convey on that particular page. But yeah, it could be a mix of different types of quotes.
I like nice. That. See, that got me. Like, the Iconic stuff, I was like, oh, that's cool. But, like, hearing that's maybe or maybe not, we're not going to say anything, but, like, that sounds really fun. I like you said, this book is all about inspiring the players to bring more to the table, to A, have something that's everything together, but also to be, you look at this and then suddenly you're like, oh, that's cool. Let me do something like this. And those quotes sometimes really do inspire you. You'll just read a quote and you're like, oh, wow, my character is now inspired to be a little bit more heroic or maybe a little bit more devious, depending, you know, if you're getting the rogue's guide. The rogue's book, right? Like if you get the rogue's book, I'm assuming there's little snippets in there of how to be a rogue, right?
Yeah, I mean, the reason we're named Beetle and Grimms is because Beetle and Grimm were two characters, you know, played by two of the founders. Oh. And Grimm is a barbarian and Beetle was a rogue wizard. And so I would not be surprised if you see a quote from Beetle in the rogue book, for example.
That is so cool.
You may see that.
Yeah, I think that's really cool.
I also think that it couples on another thing we already talked about, which is you mentioned that you have Paizo images that Paizo has given you, but also that you've also commissioned some artwork for yourself. And that's a cool thing. Especially when I'm looking through the player's handbook for a rule, I go, oh man, that piece of artwork's cool. And then I completely forget it because I'm looking up that spell or that one feat that I have to use right now, and to have it all in one spot and just to be able, like, okay, well, here's my spell, then I just have this picture of like this wizard doing some crazy ridiculousness in it, you know, which more easily inspire the players to do awesome things.
Yeah, and you know, Paizo's been, like I said, been really generous about opening up their archives, so we can grab art from stuff that, you know, there's the art that you're going to see all the time in the core rule book, but then there's art from other pieces that maybe, you know, you've never seen before that we're able to throw in there. That's been exciting too, to just look at all of this amazing art that they have, and picking and choosing what works best for each book.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's really, really cool. And like we were talking, you also worked with Wizards of the Coast, so you're just not, this isn't just something for second edition. So if you're coming into this and you're listening, we do have other listeners who play fifth edition, and a few of our players play fifth edition. One of our players actually comes from second edition, so you're not alone in that.
Second edition D&D.
So I was on your website, you know, looking around, and you guys have a ton of stuff. You have Curse Strahd, the Icewind Dale, which I believe is their newest book, right? Icewind Dale, the Rime of the Frost Maiden.
Icewind Dale, Rime of the Frost Maiden, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually pretty awesome. So there is a lot of, you guys kind of grabbed on everything. You guys are rocking it right now. That's really awesome. So again, this is more of a shout out, no direct question, saying like, definitely if you're interested, we got a question. How do I order all four? Well, you go to the Kickstarter and you will see it depends on how much you wish to spend. They have the $150 complete party pack edition, which actually comes with a credit for a Hero Forge mini, which is really cool. So I guess the DM gets to take that one, or the person purchasing it, they could grab the Hero Forge mini they want. That's the one you can get all four for currently.
That's right. There's also the $400 complete mm-hmm. party pack. It comes with all four of the limited collector books. It comes with all four of the dice sets. It comes with the Hero Forge mini credit. And it comes with the Beadle and Grimm's bag of book holding. That you can use to carry your book into your gaming session.
But yeah, that's like a premium leather.
Yeah, it's like the premium version if you're so inclined. But yeah, I mean, you can even, yeah, you can get all four of the books for $150. And you could also just get the get each of the books individually.
Yeah, I personally would rather do the all four and have all four, but that's just me because I'm crazy, and I think they're really dope. Talking about the bag, that's a separate thing you could add on also. So if you want to get the independent one, so let's say you're getting the fighter, pushing that fighter since I'm surrounded by wizards over here, you can also purchase for the $60 bundle, $60 additional add-on, you get the vegan leathered bound bag holder, which is really, really cool. It has the logo on it. If you haven't checked it out, please go and check it out. It, I think, is really, really awesome. I'm reading just a general chat and people are now arguing about prices and where you can find everything. And guys, just go on,
yeah, just go on the Kickstarter.
We love you guys. Thank you for talking. But yeah, it's getting, they're just saying like, no, get the $150, no, get the $400. Thank you, Steve. You posted that in there. With that, Steve, do you have any other questions you want to touch on? Anything crazy?
Major point, the campaign ends the 30th of this month, so November 30th is the last day. That's when Kickstarter closes. It's already funded, so more the merrier. Get those books. We want to see all those amazing characters. We want to have all those GMs out there submit their death certificates to MBNG, and we'll...
Oh, yeah, do that. Send me your death certificate, please. If you can't see it, we have Steve's studio that we were airing from, and I would love to start putting up death certificates.
That might be a thing depending on how many player deaths we have.
Yeah, right. If I get the bulk, I'm just gonna kill you all, and so I can have them lining my trophy necklace of death certificates. John, do you have anything you would like to add to touch on?
No, this has been great, guys. I really appreciate you allowing me to come on. I love talking to gamers. I mm-hmm. love talking to DMs. So thank you, Jared. You guys have been great. Check out our website, beetleandgrimms.com. go to Kickstarter and look for the Beelin Grimm's Complete Character Chronicles. And hope you, if you do end up backing, we hope you really love the product. We're really proud of it.
Yes, and I want to say thank you very much to you for being here with us. I'm overjoyed that you've taken the time out of your crazy day, because again, 17 days, they got 17 days, guys. So we could really, get those numbers up there. And, you know, it must be crazy. You must be burning the wick at both ends at this point. And I appreciate you taking the time out to speak with us.
It's been fun. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much to Beetle and Grimm for coming out and just spending an hour of their time and a little more than an hour of their time with us here with the NBNG family. So from all of us here, I want to say thank you very much and have a great evening.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
Bye, everyone.